Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message.
This morning, we are in part three of our Year of the Comeback series. We're going to take a deep dive in the life and adventure of Joseph in the book of Genesis. And let me tell you guys, it is an adventure. It's crazy. It's been amazing so far. And if you've missed any of the action the past 2 weeks, it's okay. I'm going to give you a little bit of a recap. So, 2 weeks ago, we started our series in Genesis 37, where Pastor Ryan shared with us the beginning of the story of Joseph. And on this chapter, we basically see that Joseph is like his father's favorite son. Any favorites here in the room right now? You shouldn't raise your hand. I did this. Come on, you guys. Don't raise your hands. You're horrible. I'm just kidding. We love you. So glad that you're here. Anyway, he is his father's favorite son. And because of this, he was given this really ornate, colorful, amazing jacket or coat that honestly put like any designer jackets to shame. This thing was like super ornate. It literally says ornate in the scriptures. It was amazing. And honestly, it was just like kicking dust in the rest of his brother's faces, man. His dad seriously loved him the most, gave him this crazy ornate jacket. And as you can probably guess, that didn't sit right with his brothers. It just didn't. They were like, I don't get a jacket? What the heck? And his brother, I mean, Joseph, I can imagine that Joseph was probably like, man, is it cold in here? I wouldn't know because I got this great jacket on. Anyway, and to make matters worse, Joseph, he was given a couple of dreams by God that he probably should have kept to himself. He probably shouldn't have shared these dreams with anybody else, but he decided, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do what I probably shouldn't do. He felt the need to share it with his brothers and his father, and the dreams were basically his entire family bowing down before him. Whew! And that was the last straw for his brothers. So they did the only logical thing you could do in that kind of situation. I mean, the only thing that really makes sense to do if that something like that happens is they threw him into a pit, they sold him into slavery, and told their father he was killed by a ferocious animal. You know, that classic scenario that we've all been through in our lives before. So, and that was all just chapter one. First chapter. Talk about an adventure. So, last week, we had part two of our series, and we learned things that got a little bit better for Joseph, a little bit better, but then they kind of took like a sharp turn after a little bit. We learned that he was sold as a slave to a man named Potiphar, who was basically one of the officials for the Pharaoh. He was kind of a powerful guy, and during this time, the Lord was with Joseph the entire time and blessed everything that Joseph did. Sounds pretty good, right? Like, seriously, everything that Joseph did seemed like it was blessed by the Lord. Like, Potiphar was like, man, my clothes are folded even better than they used to be. Like, what is going on? The grass seems better. It's, like, cut in a better way. I don't know. Just, like, he was totally blessed in everything that he did. And Potiphar took notice and placed Joseph in charge of basically everything. He's like, listen, the only guy you have to report to is me, okay? You can basically just do whatever. Everything that you're doing is going well, so just keep doing what you're doing, and you'll be fine. Now, enter Potiphar's wife. See, where Potiphar noticed the blessing that the Lord placed on Joseph, Potiphar's wife noticed Joseph in a different way. She saw like a 17-year-old muscular dude and was like, okay, and kind of wanted a little bit of that. You see, she tried her very best to get Joseph to sleep with her. Like, for real. Like, in the way that the scripture describes it, is she didn't even, like, throw little hints. She was literally like, come to bed with me. Like, those are the words that she used. Like, talk about forward. Like, she, like, not even like, hello. It was just like, hey, come to bed with me. And he's like, are we going to go to sleep? Like, what are we watching, Freckle Rock? Like, I don't know. She kept trying and trying, but Joseph refused, and at one point she even asked like all of the other housemaids and slaves and stuff to leave the house, because what Joseph would do is he would make sure he wasn't in a room alone with Potiphar's wife. Men, take notes. Don't be in a room with somebody else's wife alone. That's just not a good deal. Don't do that. And so Joseph, he was trying his best to keep himself out of those kinds of temptations, because that's smart to do. But Potiphar's wife had all the other slaves leave. So it was just her and just him. And Joseph didn't know this. He didn't realize. I'm sure he was kind of looking around. He was like, Greg, where's Greg? Hey, is anybody here? Where's Bill? Have you seen Bill? Why am I alone in here? And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife, it got so bad that she even tried to pull him into bed by his coat. Literally grabbed him and tried to pull him into bed. But Joseph, being the cunning man that he was, he like Houdini'd out of his jacket and just took off. Men, also take notes. If you're in a serious temptation, just run away, okay? That's never a bad option. Just run away. Like Forrest Gump, I was running. He just ran away from his problems, from the temptation. Not his problems, but his temptations. And so she got pretty mad that he kept refusing her advances. He kept spurring her advances. So what did she do? She noticed that he left his coat in her hands because she tried to grab him by it. And she used that coat as evidence against Joseph to say, he tried to basically sleep with me. I said no and screamed and he ran away. But see, he left his jacket here. He tried to sleep with me. I didn't try to sleep with him. He tried to sleep with me. And she told her husband. And Potiphar was like, no, and threw Joseph into prison. For doing the right thing, threw Joseph into prison. And that's where we pick up this morning. See, if you have a Bible with you, or the Bible app, the only time I'm going to ask you to pull out your phone's Bible app, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, but any translation is fine. King James, New King James, NLT, Message, even, just paraphrase. But either way, Genesis 40, 1 through 8. If you haven't turned there yet, it's okay. It's going to be behind me. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt, the last guy that you ever want to offend, probably. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. Short break, Joseph was even like blessed in prison, and he was like watching over the cupbearer and the baker. Now, after they had been in custody for a short time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a different meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today? We both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. The title of my message this morning is The Danger of a Dream. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for what you are doing in this service already, Lord God. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, just the boldness and the power that it gives us through your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful for your Holy Spirit, and I just pray that we'll continue to fall, Lord God. I pray that the congregation or those tuning in online will get something out of this story. Speak to them in a way that I wouldn't be able to speak to them, Lord God. They call it your living word for a reason. Let it work in someone's life this morning, Lord God. We're so grateful that we've been given your living word to read from, to learn from, to know from, Lord Jesus. We love you and we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So the danger of a dream. Okay. I love Joseph's attitude, like for real. So he's in prison because of a false accusation, as we've already read. And in verse 7, we see that he's like concerned with other people's lives. Like he can tell that these two men, the cupbearer and the baker, they're feeling down. And he takes time to ask them what's wrong. Like he sees that they're dejected, is what the scripture says. I don't even know what that meant, but context clues. I was like, that must mean bad, something bad. And so he walked up to them and was like, hey guys, what's wrong? Obviously, they're in prison. Nothing's really going good. But either way, he has this great attitude of thinking about other people other than himself, even though he's in, like, the same position. Let's take notes on that, all right? Like, for real. Like, we can still help out other people if we're going through something. That doesn't mean we need to get selfish. So he asked them what's wrong, and they let them know that they both had a dream, and they don't know what the meaning of the dream was. I've had some dreams where I had no idea what was going on either. Like, or those dreams that are really, really scary. You, like, jump off a building and then you wake up, like, right before you hit the ground. and you're like sweating and stuff like that. But I've also had these really weird dreams where it's like, I don't know, like a tiger that can fly, that can also like play the fiddle at the same time. I'm like, what does this mean? I don't know. I probably ate something bad right before I fell asleep. Either way, they're having these weird dreams. They don't know what they mean. But Joseph has some experience with dreams. And he knows that all interpretations belong to God. So he's like, hey, tell me what your dream was, and I believe that the Lord will tell me what it means. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He says this, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. And right away, Joseph receives the interpretation for the dream. Like, he knows exactly what it means right away. He lets the guy know that his dream basically means this. In 3 days, like the three branches from the vine, in 3 days, he's going to be reinstated as the cupbearer. And he's going to be placed back at the side of the Pharaoh, and he's going to have his old job back. That sounds pretty good, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that that turned that guy's frown upside down, right? Like, he was sad, and now he's happy. I'm going to be back in 3 days, baby. Like, that's great. Like, he's so excited. I would be super happy if I was that guy, if I'm sitting in prison, and then somebody tells me, hey, your dream means that you're going to be exactly where you were before you got here in, like, 3 days. Not even 3 years, but, like, 3 days. Joseph tells him something else, though, as well. After he gives him this interpretation, he asks the cupbearer that when all goes well for him, like, hey, when all of this comes to pass, that he would remember him and how he interpreted that dream for him, and that he would mention him to the Pharaoh. He's like, hey, you know that guy you're going to be standing next to every single day? Can you maybe, like, mention my name to him and let him know what I did for you? Because I want to get out of here, too. Like, I'm in prison too. I would really like to get out of prison. I was put here for the wrong reason. Help me out. I'm helping you out. Help me out, please. Whatever it is. Like, he's like, please, just help me out. A pretty simple request, if you ask me, but we'll get back to that later. Now, the other guy, the baker, after hearing this, he was super excited. He was, like, really excited. He's like, hey, I had a dream as well. I had a dream too. Can you interpret it for me? Like, you're saying he's going to get out in 3 days? That would be sick. Can you maybe give me that interpretation as well? So Joseph asks him what it was, and the baker tells him this. On my head were three baskets of bread, and the top baskets were all kind of baked goods for the Pharaoh. But the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. And guys, after he tells Joseph this, I'm sure he's just like, ready to receive. He's like, just give me that interpretation from the Lord. I'm so ready to hear this. I'm so excited about it. He was probably thinking he was going to get his job back, just like Joseph told the cupbearer. But this is what Joseph told him. The three baskets are 3 days. That's what the baskets represent. And so I'm sure the baker's like, hey, just like the three branches, right? 3 days? Okay. Sounds pretty good. Like, this is great. That's the same timeline as the cupbearer. And then Joseph's like, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away at your flesh. Whew. Not the interpretation that this guy was hoping to get. I shouldn't be laughing. But come on, y'all. You know he was so excited when he heard 3 days. And then Joseph lays this like bombshell on him and is basically saying, nope, you're going to be impaled on a pole, and the birds are going to eat away at your flesh. Can you imagine how awkward it got in that prison cell? Like, can you imagine, like, how awkward it was? Joseph's like, so 3 days, you're going to die. And the guy's like, oh, man, like, I don't want to die. And he's like, it's worse. Hold on. You're going to be impaled, and birds are going to eat your flesh. And I can just imagine the baker like, can I get a second opinion? Can you maybe ask God again? Can you play? Maybe there was an interference or there or something. Please, like, can you please? I can imagine that baker was hoping that Joseph was wrong. But the cupbearer was probably like, nah, dude, this guy's right. I'm getting out here in 3 days. Like, I'm totally fine. This is okay with me. But Joseph, you see, he wasn't wrong. And after 3 days, the cupbearer was back at the side of the Pharaoh, and the baker was not. We'll just put it that way. He wasn't. But here's something that I find interesting about this part of Joseph's life. He's in prison. His dream about his family bowing down before him has not come true, but yet he's still being obedient to God. He's still being obedient to what the Lord is asking him to do, which brings me to my first point, point number one. Even in your valleys, God can still use you. He can still use you. Joseph, he's not in any kind of glorious, powerful place yet, and the Lord is still doing amazing things through him. And I feel like that should speak to us as believers, and we should like receive that as believers. So often, I feel we get convinced that God can't use us because we're not in some like powerful state of whatever. We're not on like the board of directors. We're not part of the HOA committee or whatever it is. We feel like we don't have any pull in anything. And because of that, we convince ourselves that the Lord can't do anything with us, or we're just in this place that's not very good. Like Joseph's in prison, remember? And we're just like in a bad place, right? Like, I'm just not really feeling like I can really do anything. We all get convinced of this kind of stuff. But here's the thing. God isn't looking for people in this perfect place. God isn't looking for people on like the president of the United States, which he can use, but he ain't just looking for that. Guys, he is looking for people who are willing to be obedient. He is looking for obedience. He's looking for people like you and me who are willing to say yes when he asks. That is so much greater than a person of power that says no, right? If you're willing to say yes to what God is asking you to do, he'll be able to do what he wants to do through you. Regardless of your situation, regardless of your place that you feel you're in, that unperfect place, whatever it is, God can still use you. Don't ever let the enemy convince you that you're not enough to accomplish what God is calling you to do. And trust me, he's going to try. He is going to try his hardest. So there's no scripture to back this up, what I'm about to say, but I bet that even Joseph had times of doubt in his life, right? Doubt in his life. He wasn't sure if he should go through with what he felt the Lord was calling him to do. He probably had some doubt, and he probably felt inadequate. I think we can all relate to that, feeling inadequate. Maybe I'm the only one, but I've definitely felt that. I could be wrong, but I do know that he was human, and as humans, we have these feelings. We have these emotions. We have these times where we don't feel like we're enough. And the enemy's going to try to use those moments to convince you that you can't accomplish what the Lord's calling you to do. I'm sure Joseph had to remind himself regularly that the Lord makes us enough. There's nothing we do personally that can grant us goodness enough. The Lord does that for us. The Lord qualifies us. The Lord eliminates our inequities and keeps us on the path. It's nothing we do. And I'm sure that Joseph had to remind himself of that regularly. So after Joseph interprets the dreams and they come to pass just as he predicted, Joseph gets released from prison and he lives happily ever after. Okay, that is not what happens at all, actually. Remember that one little favor that he asked the cupbearer? That one little request that he mentioned to him after he interprets his dream for him and basically tells him that he's going to be back at the Pharaoh's side? Well, the cupbearer kind of forgot about it. And it wasn't for like a little bit either. The cupbearer forgot about it for 2 years. 2 years. So Joseph's chilling in prison for 2 whole years more after he tells the guy, can you just please mention my name to the Pharaoh? But then the Pharaoh ends up having his own dreams that no one can interpret. Like he has these weird dreams and he's asking all his like magicians, sorcerers, or whatever they had back then, and nobody can give him an interpretation. But the cupbearer hears about this and he finally remembers Joseph and he tells the Pharaoh about Joseph. He said, hey, remember when you threw me in prison? Because like I said that you didn't look good that one day. Like, there was this guy in there, and he interpreted my dream, and it came to pass. And his name's Joseph, and he's still there. Like, maybe we go get him. And so the Pharaoh goes and grabs Joseph right away. And when Joseph arrives and hears the dream from the Pharaoh, which, by the way, are really, really odd dreams. Like, it's basically this: seven fat cows being eaten by seven skinny, ugly cows, and then like seven full heads of grain being devoured by seven withering heads of grain. Like, if I had those dreams, like, I would have no idea what they meant either. I'd probably just be like, I must have had some bad pizza or something. I don't know. Like, this is weird. But Joseph is able to interpret them. He tells the Pharaoh that there will be 7 good years of harvest, followed by 7 years of famine, and that because of this, he needs to start storing up the food during those 7 good years, so when those 7 bad years come along, they actually have food to eat, water to drink, all that good stuff. And the Pharaoh's reaction to this is awesome, y'all. Like, he's so impressed with Joseph's wisdom that he decides to put him in charge of basically everything in Egypt. Everything in Egypt. Like, it even says in the scripture that the Pharaoh takes off one of his rings and puts it on Joseph's hand and says, hey, you're only under me. Everything else is yours. You're in control of all of it. And that ring probably was some serious bling, y'all. Solid gold, big old ruby on top. I don't know what else they had back then, but it was probably sick. And we can see that in our second main text this morning. Genesis 41, 39 through 40 says this. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Think about that for a second. 2 years prior, Joseph's in prison, no way out. He was stuck in there probably wondering, like, if his original dream was ever going to come true. He's like, man, this was kind of like a while ago when I had this dream, and now I'm in prison. Like, what is going on? And he probably felt a little discouraged, right? And to kind of relate it to us, maybe you've kind of had a calling on your life that you felt was from the Lord. Like, you felt so strongly that God was calling you to do something, but the way that things are playing out right now, it doesn't really look like you're headed in the direction that you should be. Like, if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you with my second and last point, point number two. Your present circumstance does not dictate God's future plans. It doesn't. It just doesn't. When things are looking rough and it just doesn't seem like anything good can happen for you, remember who your God is. We forget so frequently when the distractions of the world get in front of us, we forget that our God created everything. Everything. He's outside of time. He's outside of space. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be God. He's outside of everything that makes us get, like, anxious, and he controls it all. Remember that his hands hold the world, and he holds all the power in the universe. He can do anything that he pleases. Let me put it like this. He's got all the infinity stones, right? Like, he can do anything. He can do anything. We see that power right here in the case of Joseph. A man that was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused of assault, and thrown into prison. If anyone had a reason to doubt God's power and God's plan in his life because of his current situation, it's Joseph, right? Like, God told me this, but this is happening. Like, I should be heading this way, but I'm like heading back in the other way. Like, things do not look good. Yet Joseph continued to believe in the Lord and hold on to hope that things could change for him. And God definitely delivered. Definitely. And talk about a comeback, y'all. I mean, this is the year of the comeback series. Talk about a comeback from prison to palace. Prison to palace, man. Totally redeemed. Like, just when I thought things couldn't get any worse, you go and do something like this and completely redeem yourself. Some of you know what that's from. That's what I call an upgrade. And that's just a fraction of what God is capable of. Let's make it practical this morning. If you are in a place in your life where you feel like you're in prison, like you are stuck and you aren't making any progress, even though you're doing everything you should be doing, keep pushing. Keep moving forward, keep praying, keep worshiping, and keep trusting in your God. I know it's hard to keep that faith train moving when things aren't going according to your timeline, but let me remind you, we're on God's timeline, all right? and his timing's perfect. It's better than our timing. He's the one who dictates our movement and our progress. Our job is just to trust in him and do what we can when we can. And I know that can be frustrating. Trust me. I know that as humans, we're constantly wanting to make progress. I just got that promotion, but I'm trying to get to VP now. Like, oh, I just got a new car, but I'm trying to get that newer car. Or like, I just got those new clothes, but man, those other clothes look really nice. We're trying to make progress in our lives. We're trying to keep moving. And honestly, those are all good and well, but as Christians, we must remember that our calling is to accomplish what he has planned for us, not our own selfish ambition. So many people living life day by day to accomplish something that they're not called to do. And sometimes we can get frustrated when we're trying to accomplish what God is calling us to do, and it ain't working as fast as we would hope. But thank goodness we are on God's timing. And a lot of the time, his time frame for those things is much different than ours. So hold strong onto your faith and never forget that he is the one who holds the world in his hands. Never forget who has all the power and deserves all of the glory. When we set our sights on him, he gives us everything, and we're sure to accomplish everything that he has called us to accomplish. He's the one who's in charge. He's the one that we should be praying to. He's the one we should be following, not ourselves. He holds the world in his hands, so that includes your plans as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the story of Joseph. A man who went through so much. A man who was redeemed. A man who stuck by your plans, Lord God. Don't let his current situation dictate how he felt about you. Somebody who remained obedient through everything. Lord God, I pray that over each and every person here, each and every person tuning in online, that we can remain faithful to be obedient in situations where we feel like something should be going a different way. I pray for that hope that goes beyond all understanding, that peace that goes beyond all understanding to fall on each and every person here. Lord God, we all need it. We all need to be able to persevere through those moments in our life where we feel like it's just not going right. Remind us that our current situation doesn't dictate what you have in the future for us, Lord God. Remind us that our obedience to you shouldn't just be when we're on our mountaintop. It should be in every situation. Valley, prairie, mountaintop, everything. And just remind us that our strength comes from you. That our plans, they're kind of meaningless compared to the things you have for us, Lord God. Remind everyone in here, each and every person, that they have plans that are divinely inspired, given by you. Let us know that we are enough, Lord God. With you, we are enough. I can just feel it in my spirit right now that there are people in the room or maybe tuning in online that just, they feel that inadequacy in their life. They feel like they're not enough, that because of something they're going through or because of something that they've done, they can't be called to anything higher. They couldn't fulfill their higher purpose given by you, Lord God, because they made a mistake in their life or they just don't feel like they could possibly do anything like that. Well, God, remind them who you are. Remind them that you hold the world in your hands. You hold the whole universe in your hands, Lord God, because you created it. And if you have given someone direction and purpose in their life, for them to deny that is wrong and that they should move forward in boldness and in faith, knowing that you've called them to do that. And lastly, Lord, I pray for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that hears these words but has never experienced your Holy Spirit. That hears these words and wants to know who this Jesus guy is. They've heard a few things here and there, but they've never experienced the presence of Jesus, and they've never accepted him into their lives. I also pray for the person that maybe followed Jesus for years and then got caught up maybe in their own selfish ambition and they just started to kind of wander off. But now they're feeling that conviction that can come from your spirit, Lord God, inside them, calling them home. I pray that they'll be sensitive to that. And they want to make changes. They want to be different. And they want to be back how things used to be. They want to return to their first love, that love of you, Jesus. I pray for those people, those that don't know you and those people that knew you but walked away. I want to give them the opportunity right now, in this room or online, right now, where they can decide that they are going to be different through the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm going to say some words, all right? Some words that you can say to yourself, all right? You don't have to say it out loud or anything like that, but you can just, you know, claim it for yourself. And they're not magical or anything like that, but they go a little bit like this. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, I know that you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead to forgive me for all of my sins, and I claim that salvation. I claim you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and as my Savior. If you say things like that, it says in Romans that you will be saved, that you will inherit the kingdom, and that you will be an heir to the throne of the kingdom of heaven. That's a promise. So if you said those words, know that your life is about to change. And I'm so happy for you that you've made that chance. And I pray right now, Lord Jesus, if there's anybody in this room that is maybe still hesitant about making that step, that you would continue to just tug at their hearts, Lord God. I pray for hearts that are hardened to be softened, Lord Jesus. I pray for people to change from the inside out, that miracle that happens to us when we accept you in our lives. I pray that the desires of our hearts will change to honor you, Lord God. That true miracle, that great miracle where you wanted to do one thing one day, started following Jesus, and now you want to do something else. I just pray for that miracle in everyone's lives, Lord God. Myself included, Lord. Keep us focused on what you have us do. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for today and all that you've done. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.